Good morning, everybody. I'll have you know that I got up this morning and ran around the Capitol. So not only did I get here, but I actually did a nice 6-mile run this morning. So that's appropriate, I guess, for when you start talking about fitness. I'm here today to talk about some of the work that we've been doing with a data set that we've developed out of West Virginia through the Wood County School System, and we've published 4 articles off this data set and have a 5th one that's just been accepted. So it's a marvelous data set. It has some health screening information so that you have height and weight at least, with so you can get BMI, and there's some other things that we look at too sometimes with blood pressure or markers for diabetes. There have been times when we've had socioeconomic status indicators with whether the family gets free or reduced lunch, gender, of course. Also, fitness measures through the fitness gram testing that's done, and academic measures through West Test. All of this pulled into the same database, so it's very good for drawing associations. We've been doing this for about 5 years now, and we're now to the point where we can start looking at some of this data longitudinally, which is what we're reporting on here today, looking at children in the 5th grade and the 7th grade. My name's Dick Whitberg. I am the executive director of the Mid-Ohio Valley Health Department. It's a regional health department in West Virginia. Back in the back, we have my collaborators, Leslie Cottrell from the University, or West Virginia University, pardon me, and Karen Northrup from the Wood County School System. And we have no relationships to disclose, financial relationships to disclose. So there's been a lot of developing research around the association between academics and physical activity or physical fitness. Briefly, what's been established up to this point is that students perform better on a variety of tasks if they are physically active, and that's true even if that activity comes at the cost of some instructional time. And that there's been several studies that have looked at fitness gram and the number of fitness gram tests passed and how that is associated with academic achievement through the achievement tests. That's been done in New York, Maine, in West Virginia, and the first one was that we know of was in California. Fitness gram looks at 6 different indices, aerobic capacity being one of them. Body composition is another. We did not use the fitness gram indices since it was simply whether you're in the healthy fitness zone or in the needs improvement zone. We actually had height and weight data so that we could come up with exact BMIs. Fitness gram also looks at body at several different measures of muscular strength, endurance, and flexibility. The academic indices were standardized testing on science, math, social studies, and reading, and we used West Test. That's what's done in West Virginia. In our previous work in looking at fitness gram, we see that what drives that relationship with academics appears to be aerobic capacity. So we focused in on aerobic capacity for some of the subsequent work that we have done. So what we're reporting on today is aerobic capacity. Aerobic capacity is measured a couple different ways in fitness gram. One's the mile run, which is the time it takes for a child to run 1 mile. And then there's the pacer test, which is a progressive test that a child is running back and forth across 20 meters with less and less time to be able to do that. So there's less recovery time, and you have to go faster and faster as you go. In one of the previous works that we've done, we're trying to look at thresholds of, you know, where you get the biggest bang for the buck out of this association. And with boys, we could say if you could get a 5th grade boy to run a 9-minute mile or faster, that's where you seem to see the best benefit. And with girls, we had a couple different peaks with the pacer, that if there were 12 and 30 with the same sort of relationship, if you could get up to 12 circuits, you could see a benefit, and then another bump at 30. What was interesting out of this, though, is that there's only a weak relationship between the girls and the mile run, and there is virtually no relationship between the boys and the pacer test. So there are some gender differences that appear to be going on there. So in all of that we report here, you know, we cannot control which FitnessGram test that child takes. And as a result, that does have some impact on the results that we do, or that we get. There's been very little work that has been done around looking at children longitudinally. And the question that we're trying to answer in this work that we're presenting here this morning is whether fitness changes are associated with changes in academics among children over time. And in this work, again, FitnessGram is, you're either in the healthy fitness zone or in the needs improvement zone. We do not have exact times for this. So in the work that we've done, we looked at four different classifications, one of which is if you're in the healthy fitness zone for in both fifth and seventh grade. Second is if you're in the needs improvement zone in the fifth and seventh grade. And then you had the last two where you change classes. You're in the healthy fitness zone in fifth, but in the needs improvement zone in seventh. Or you're in the needs improvement zone in fifth and in the healthy fitness zone in seventh. Then the dependent variables are the standardized academic test mean scores. The sample consisted of a little over 1,700 fifth grade matched with their performance in seventh grade, so fifth and seventh grade students. They came from 19 elementary schools, six middle schools. It consisted of three different cohorts, a relatively rural school system, primarily Caucasian and just barely over 50% male. And as I said before, FitnessGram has six different subscales, but we've focused in on aerobic capacity. West Test is a criterion-based reference. There are four mastery areas, as I've said before, science, math, social studies, and reading. The scoring goes from 1 to 5, with 3 and above can be being considered passing. Because the test changed slightly as we were going through this, we ended up using Z-scores instead of the actual criterion scores. So in the study, we had 880 students that were in the healthy fitness zone in both fifth grade and in seventh grade. We had 344 that were in the needs improvement zone in both grades. And the last 500 or so switched their aerobic capacity class over the 2 years. We had 280 that went from the healthy fitness zone to the needs improvement zone, and 221 that went from the needs improvement zone to the healthy fitness zone. And this is what we found. I get kind of excited looking at these results. It's a lot of fun. On the far left, you have the healthy fitness zone in both grades. Far right is the needs improvement zone in both grades. As you can see, there's a highly statistically significant difference between those two. The ones that changed classes fell in between. We had enough of a difference between the children that were in the needs improvement zone in the fifth grade and moved to the healthy fitness zone in seventh that we were able to generate a statistically significant difference between the between those and the ones that stayed in the needs improvement zone. That's math. In science, same pattern. Once again, healthy fitness zone in both grades, highly statistically significantly different with between that and the needs improvement zone. Reading, same story. And again, we had enough of a difference between the ones that moved from the needs improvement zone to the healthy fitness zone that we generated a significant difference between that and the ones that stayed in the needs improvement zone. And finally, in social studies, same sort of pattern. Again, between the healthy fitness zone and the needs improvement zone in both grades. The things that we've concluded from this are that these associations between fitness and academics is sustained over time, and that the biggest differences are between the ones that do not change classes. The ones that are in the needs improvement zone both times are always highly statistically significantly lower than the ones that are in the healthy fitness zone. Now, here's where I got to get out and dance around a little bit. You know, what you'd be inclined to conclude off of this is that these children that are in the healthy fitness zone and go down to the needs improvement zone, that their grades have dropped. Right? That's the first thing that you would think. And the ones that were in the needs improvement zone that managed to get into the healthy fitness zone, that their scores had improved. And it's not true. If you look at the West test scores in the fit rate for these same groups of children, okay, you don't have all of these ones that were in the healthy fitness zone up here. The ones that are in the healthy fitness zone in the fifth grade, but are going to be in the needs improvement zone in the seventh grade, their tests were coming out almost the exact same spot. Okay? What this means to me is that those ones that are changing classes, those are children that their fitness falls near that fitness grade threshold, so that what I would say is that they are children with moderate fitness. So instead of just doing well or doing poorly, you have that kind of linear dose-response relationship with fitness, which is where we come up with this last point. Children who change zones may be those who have fitness close to fitness gram aerobic fitness targets, and their scores on this always fell between the children that stayed in the healthy fitness zone and the children that stayed in the needs improvement zone. There are several places that we'd love to be able to go from here. More needs to be done around improving our understanding of that relationship between physical activity and physical fitness. Does activity give you the same sort of benefit that fitness does? There's a lot of evidence that says that while most of the work that we've done, we talk about fitness, activity may have that same kind of benefit. So just getting the children active during the day may give a benefit to academics. And as I've said many times, what we would love to be able to do is be able to take a group of children that are in that needs improvement zone, and be able to do some sort of intervention with those children to see if we can have an impact on their academics, and continue to do this work longitudinally. We'd also love to be able to find out why there's that gender difference between the mile run and the PACER test. I'm from public health, and this is a really rich area to impact policy. We've made enough noise in West Virginia that the state school superintendent has said that she wants schools to try to incorporate an extra 15 minutes of activity into the schools every day, whether that is physical education, whether it's recess, or whether it's just getting children up and active in the classroom. And it doesn't have to be all in one block, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. Anything that can be done to increase the amount of physical education or recess or anything else that gets the children out active are things that we push for. So, thanks for coming this morning.